Sesame Street is in its 35th season. The preschool show has won 91 Emmy Awards and has educated and entertained generations of children, but Big Bird, Kermit, Elmo, and the other Muppets only appear in about 24 new episodes each year. And the show's writing staff has been substantially reduced. John Kalish reports it's all part of the changing landscape of children's television.
At its peak, there were 130 new episodes of Sesame Street a year, a figure that was unheard of in children's television. That number has been slowly dwindling. When the production company, Sesame Workshop, decided in 2002 to produce only 26 episodes a year, one writer quipped, "It's a good thing they didn't cut it to 25 shows, or they'd have to fire a letter of the alphabet." At that time, the writing staff of 20 was cut to 10. The cutbacks came as Sesame Workshop faced multi-million dollar operating deficits. But CEO Gary Nell says that even with fewer new episodes, Sesame Street still achieves its educational goals.
We do a lot of testing on their cognitive take on what they're getting from it, and we see that ticking up. So we are testing it. If we found that by cutting the number of episodes that we were reducing its exposure to American kids and also them not understanding or getting as much out of the show as it was before, we'd have to reevaluate this.
PBS says Sesame Street reaches close to 3.5 million kids between the ages of 2 and 5 each week. Sesame Workshop CEO Gary Nell says ratings are up in the last 5 years.
We may not be producing the tonnage of programs that we did before, but we are completely committed to producing another 35 years of Sesame Street if they'll have us.
Everybody knows, scrub your flippers and your toes, and while you wash away your troubles, don't forget to count the bubbles. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Some of the show's alumni are saddened by the reduction of episodes. Norman Stiles served as head writer of Sesame Street for close to 20 years. He says having fewer new episodes affects the show's ability to grapple with topical issues.
The more shows they're able to do, the more subjects they're able to deal with, and the more current they're able to be on a more consistent basis over the period of a year. So it's not a terrible tragedy, but it's a shame that they can't do more.
As cable television grew, PBS's dominance in children's educational programming began to erode. Today, Nickelodeon, Disney, and Discovery have either channels or blocks of educational programming aimed at preschoolers. Norman Stiles says that to some extent, Sesame Street is a victim of its own success.
The group that started to do this thing, that put this idea up and got it running, wanted to generate more children's programming that was quality. From the very beginning, their whole intention was to change the landscape. Well, they did, and now it's affected them and created a more competitive environment.
That environment also includes videos, DVDs, and TiVo recordings of kid shows, says Alice Kahn, a former Sesame Street executive. She now oversees preschool programming at the Cartoon Network. Kahn says that these new technologies have gotten kids used to watching the same programming over and over again, leading producers to question just how much new material is needed to be effective.
The fact of the matter is we're raising a generation of preschoolers who do not know the meaning of the phrase, "You can't watch it, it's not on." Preschoolers look at you like, "What do you mean it's not on?" Immediate access is something that this generation, and probably their somewhat older siblings, are absolutely accustomed to. That changes the way they watch television on a daily basis.
Another factor in how kids watch TV, according to Kahn, is the internet, where content on demand is available with the click of a mouse. She thinks children will spend more time online and less time watching television in the coming years. For NPR News, I'm John Kalish in New York.